Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today I'm joined by Boris Scholl on my right. Hi, yeah. Boris.
Hi.
And Mirwan Hade on my left.
Hi.
Hi. These guys are program managers in the Azure tooling part of the business, and today they're going to show us a new tool that was introduced yesterday by Mr. Scott Guthrie, I believe, and it is for doing diagnostics against Azure.
It's part of the SDK, the Azure SDK.
Okay.
So it's going to light up in Visual Studio. If you install the SDK, it's going to light up as the Azure tools in Visual Studio.
Right. So tell us why we need this tool, development against Azure. What are the problems that we're trying to address here?
I mean, first of all, developing against Azure is a whole different story, right? Because traditional developers, they build on their target platform and they can basically debug the code and things like that. So this is in the Azure world is completely different because you need to think about, you basically publish your application to Azure, and once it is published to Azure, it's kind of out of your control.
It's somebody else's computers living somewhere and
they don't even understand what it's doing
and stuff like that. Right.
So the tools are really great because we actually have an emulator, an Azure emulator, that allows you to simulate Azure PaaS roles, what we call PaaS roles. It's basically platform as a service roles. So for a developer with the Azure tools and the emulator and all the other stuff, the developer can easily develop code or write code on a local machine, test it under almost real-time scenarios with the emulator, and then after this is done, they can publish it to Azure. So that's why the tools are really good.
Cool, very cool.
Yep.
All right. So you're going to show us, this is going to be more of a high-level overview of it, and then you're going to be on Cloud Cover in a week or so, really diving into it, right?
So what we're going to show today is basically the two, like, what we call lighthouse features that we released with the SDK 2.0, which is one, on the one hand, it's storage tooling, which Mirwan is going to talk about, and then on the other hand, it's diagnostics. As you said, like, diagnostics always been, like, a fairly high... It's almost like a source of, hey, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get started,
exactly.
Right? People, like traditional developers, having a hard time. So we did some improvements there, and that's what we're going to show today.
Great. Awesome. All right.
Great. Thanks. So today I'm going to talk about the various tooling that we're shipping in Visual Studio for Azure Storage. So we're going to look at blobs, we're going to look at tables, and we're going to look at queues. So a little bit more about blobs. So blobs, think of blobs as any unstructured data that you want to put on the cloud. You can think of multimedia, like images, movies, documents, etc. Right. Think of tables as anything that you would use for structured data. So say you're a large company for, let's say, you're a web app that hosts a database of movies. You could use Azure Tables to store that list of movies. Queues is basically for inter-role communication. So let's say you have a couple of worker roles, you have web roles. How do you pass messages between them? So what we're going to do today is we're going to use a web app. We're going to go hands-on and see how you can build an app that uses storage, and then how you can diagnose issues with that app which is using storage. Okay, so let me get started with my app. Let's show it in action. So basically, it's a simple ASP.NET MVC4 app. It allows you to create food cards, to delete them, to view details, et cetera. What I've done is the cards themselves are being stored in Azure Storage, and the images that are associated with each card are being stored in Blob Storage.
Sure.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you how you would set up a connection to your storage account. So at the moment, my app is pointing to my production storage account. But let's say I want to point to my staging account. So I'm going to open up the role designer. So I go to my Azure project. I go to my role. I open up the role designer. I'm going to go to the settings page. Here, I have a setting called storage connection string. So I'm going to open that up. And instead of pointing, I'm going to go to your subscription. And instead of pointing to food carts, I'm going to point to food cart staging. Now, I want to explain here what we've done. So in our last release, we made it really simple to connect to set up a connection to your storage. Before, you had to go to the portal, find your connection string, come to Visual Studio, paste it, blah, blah, blah. What we've done here is all you have to do is select your subscription. We'll find the list of accounts that you have under that subscription and allow you to select one. So in this case, I'm going to select food cart staging. Great. So I'm all set. I'm going to hit F5.
So that what you see right now, this is the emulator spinning off.
Right.
Now what we should see is my food cart app with nothing on it. Great. So one of the first things I would want to do with my blank app is seed it with some dummy data.
Right.
So I'm going to show you how you can do that. So you open up Server Explorer. Let's add the staging storage account. So add new storage account. Notice this dialog looks very similar to what we just saw. We're going to add food cart staging. Now that we've set up a connection with staging, we're going to go and find our blobs container. So I have a container called cart images. Now, I'm going to upload a couple of more images in there. So I'm going to go with buns and burrito mojado. I can see that they're instantly uploaded.
Okay.
Now, I want to point out here that in addition to uploading images and uploading blobs to your container, you can also delete them, and you can also download them for quick preview. Let's check that out. And I see that our awesome Windows photo viewer is going to show it.
Excellent.
Great. Okay. So now that I've uploaded these two blobs, I want to switch over to my tables container and add some dummy table entities. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm going to open up my tables node. I'm going to find my carts table. And before I do that, I'm going to copy the URL for, let's say, burrito mojado. Copy that URL. So I'm going to add a new entity. Let's call it. So the way I've set up my app, partition key refers to cuisine, and row key refers to the name of the food cart. And we'll have two more properties. We'll have one for the address of the food cart, and then one for the image URL. So in this case, I'm going to go with Mexican burrito mojado, add an address, I believe it's somewhere in Redmond, forgive me fans of burrito mojado. And I've basically added an entity. Now I want to see if it shows up on my app. Great, so we just added an entity and it shows up in our table. Now the next thing I would want to do is I want to add a cart using my app and see if it shows up in my table. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm a big fan of Mexican food carts, so I'm going to add another one. Okay, Guadalajara. It's in Redmond as well. Gonna upload an image real quick. Where is it? There we go. And if I go to my table, it should show up. Mm-hmm. And it does. So I just want to point out that being able to add entities, being able to delete entities, this is functionality that we're shipping for the first time in Azure 2.0. Another thing that we're shipping is being able to hone in on the data that you need. So to point this out, let me open up my production account. So I have a lot of food carts. What I want to do now is I only want to view the food carts that are Mexican, right? That have Mexican cuisine. So I'm going to build a query. I'm going to build a query using the query builder. So I'm going to say partition key equal to Mexican. Hit OK. I'm going to run that. And I only see the food carts mm-hmm. that are Mexican. Now, sorting becomes relevant when you have large sets of data. Because you could have, imagine you could have, 5,000, 10,000 entities, and you want to diagnose an issue with a particular set. So what our tools allow you to do is write up a query, see what the functionality is like, and then determine whether you've used the right partition key, row key, et cetera.
Okay.
So now that I have my app up and running, I'm going to go to my production app and see what it looks like in action. So, choose my running app, view in browser. All right, I'm going to create a new food cart. So, what's your favorite cuisine, Robert?
Italian.
Great.
good choice.
Are there Italian food carts?
I guess so.
Change it to Cajun then.
Okay. There's a really good one in Bellevue.
What's that called? Where You At Matt or whatever? Right?
Sure.
That one's really good.
Where Are You At Matt?
Where You At? Where You At? No R. Where You At?
Where You At?
Something like that.
Okay, and do you know where it is?
It used to be right outside my building, but then they finished building the cafeteria, and I haven't seen it since.
All right, so
probably somewhere in Seattle.
Seattle. Okay, so we're going to upload, let's call this Where You At Robert. Going to upload an image for Robert.
So I'm going to have a second career. That'd be pretty cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, something seems to have gone wrong. Boris, think you can help me figure this one out?
I think so.
All right.
All right, so what we've seen so far is the new table.
It's not a trademark violation, I hope.
No, it's not. So Meron has shown you like the cool new features with regards to our storage tooling. Right? Mm-hmm. Now you've seen we have an app running on Azure. Right. We deployed it, everything was working, and now we tried something, app is deployed, and you run into an error. So up until SDK 2.0, there was pretty much no way to enable diagnostics and get the data in a development environment. Mm-hmm. Right. What you actually had to do is you had to configure diagnostics either using a code-based approach. So you had to go to the role environment and basically write up some code, what kind of data you want to collect, and so on and so forth. Or you had to go to the blob storage, which contains the diagnostics configuration through PowerShell management mechanisms, and change it. But then on the other hand, there is no way to view the diagnostics data in Visual Studio. If you wanted to look at your diagnostics data, you had to go to storage. Right? But now we have something really cool. Let me show you in that particular scenario. So this is the Windows Azure Compute Node. We have the Seattle Food Cart Storage Diag Cloud Service, which is a very long name. Mm-hmm. So this is the one Meron was using, and he ran into an error, right? That cloud service consists of a web role with one instance. So what I can do now is, because I had an error, mm-hmm. right, I can go to my web role and say view diagnostics data. This is
nice.
Entirely new. That's really cool.
Nice.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to get the diagnostics data, and I'm presenting here, okay, I have a Windows Azure application log error, right? If I look at the error, I see Windows Azure storage exception, remote server returned an error. If you drill deeper into that stack trace, mm-hmm. You'll figure out that the storage API can't handle the input Meron just did, right? But key here is that Meron, except in his code, which I assume every developer does, if we go to the code itself, Meron really just entered like exception handling to the code, mm-hmm. right? And said, okay, log errors, if we go to the definition of that function, we see it just using trace.traceError. That's okay. All he does,
cool.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What that means is, Visual Studio, when you create a new cloud service project, we wire everything up for you, right? We have a basic diagnostic setting in place, so it collects your errors. And in that particular case, as a developer, you now are presented right away with an error. What's the issue, right? And then you can look into it, and then you can fix it and redeploy it.
Cool.
So, but it gets better. So.
And you can use this with any Azure project?
It has to be.
Mobile services?
This only works in a cloud service project. So you
okay.
need to create a new cloud service project.
Got it.
And then we wire everything up.
Okay.
So there is one, one caveat to that, because the way Azure Diagnostics works is it's turned on the VM, so it's logging the data all the time, over and over again, right? And the configuration itself says, hey, I want just the errors in my storage. I want just verbose data. And so you basically set the log level you want to transfer. Mm-hmm. That transfer happens only every minute. So you cannot go below a minute. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So once
sure.
you've thrown an error in the Visual Studio tools, you have to wait a minute until it shows up here. So
okay.
that's basically the delay. So I promise you we have better tooling for that as well. So now let's say this is the summary page we're doing. If you're familiar with IntelliTrace, that looks awfully familiar with you because we actually stole that stuff from the IntelliTrace guys. Okay. And what that does is the intention behind that page is really for the application developer to say, okay, this is your app, right? Those are the different log data sources, and you ran into one error in mm-hmm. Windows Azure application. So it should give you like a window or a view of your application, what went wrong, what's working, right? So now let's say, okay, I have like one error, but I also want to change my setting. If I now go, I have two commands here. Either on the role itself, we have update diagnostic settings, mm-hmm. or on an instance level even, we can say update diagnostic settings. So think about now you have a cloud service with multiple instances, right? And just one instance is behaving not the way it should be.
Okay.
Right? You can just update a diagnostic setting for that particular instance, which is really cool. So I'm doing that on this on the cloud service now, on the web role itself, say update diagnostic settings. So we get the diagnostics configuration from Windows Azure, and then you can basically make adjustments here. You can now say, okay, I want to have log level verbose. I can like set my transfer period. I just want to transfer it every 5 minutes and so on and so forth, right? So it basically gives you a pretty good tool to configure your diagnostics during runtime. There's a word of caution, though, with using that, because the way Azure Diagnostics works is those updates, the updates you make in that particular dialog, they go right into the configuration which is stored in the blob container. So the diagnostics agent on the VM always picks up that particular configuration. Mm-hmm. That means, in other words, even if you redeploy your service after that, if you don't do a full redeployment, it will still have the old configuration. Okay. So keep in mind when you use that in a development environment, you probably want to reverse it to what it was. Just use it in order, let's say you have an error and you want to turn on verbose tracing to see what led to an error. Use this and then revert it back. So the last thing I want to show you is, assuming we started with a blank project, right, and Marwan went to the role designer a couple times, if we go to the role designer, we have an extended diagnostic section here. So this is what I meant. When you create a new cloud service project, enable diagnostics always turned on by default. That's always been that way. We haven't introduced anything there, right? But what we have introduced here is we give you, like, for a developer scenario, we give you errors only or all information, or you can even have a custom plan. So what does errors only mean? Errors only is the default setting we do. And actually, the only errors that are being transferred into storage are errors at the application level using the Azure Trace Listener, which is configured in the web.config for a web role by mm-hmm. default, or in the config file for a worker role. So it's always there. And from the systems diagnostics, we only use the application level. So we really try to minimize financial impact, which is fairly low at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but then you could also say, hey, I know there's something not working right, and I have a lot of trace statements in my code. You can say, okay, I want to get all the information, which would basically set it to verbose. Or you can even come up with an entire custom plan, which is the familiar dialog, and you can basically come up with your own diagnostic settings here. And then you just deploy or publish your app, and that's about it.
Very cool.
That's
what. So are we going to find the error in the code there?
Yeah, I think...
Why do I not have a food cart?
Why do you have not a food cart? Marwan is the best person to answer, because it's got to do with the storage APIs, right?
Yeah. So basically, I intentionally put an apostrophe or an intentionally put a semicolon in there.
Okay.
And... I'm intentionally not catching it.
This provoked an error.
We provoked an error just for you folks.
And the upshot is no food cart.
No food cart.
All right,
sorry.
I'll stick to my normal job then. Oh well.
But the app is live, so feel free to go there and add your own food cart.
This is really cool. This is going to be very, very helpful in finding errors. You know, the code you write, and you can pretty much understand that. But then, as we said earlier, you publish this stuff into the cloud, and something happens, and you don't have the full. Haven't up until this point had necessarily the full ability to figure things out. So this is really going to make people way more productive.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Cool.
Cool stuff.
Great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. And as we said earlier, you guys are going to be doing a more of a deep dive on this on an upcoming Cloud Cover episode.
Yeah, I'm going to do a deep dive on diagnostics. Okay, then cool. I'll explain the inner workings in detail. All right. And things like that.
Cool. So watch for that. All right.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Thanks.
Thanks.